Welcome to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. Straight talk, enthusiastic support, and heartfelt encouragement for you to open up to your sacred sexuality. And now your host, Leslie Blackburn.
My love, thank you so much. I am excited to be here. I'm really honored to be sharing and offering possibility, and would love to hear from you as well. If you feel like reaching out with a phone call into the show, please do that as well. This show is really about opening to facets of our sexuality and consciousness that often we don't feel like we can talk about in our society. And this is a chance to get to openly explore those. It's about slowing way down with love and respect and really honoring our sexuality, which is so often hidden in the shadows or squashed away or misunderstood. So topics include, you know, what is sacred sexuality and what is it like to follow and explore on this path? And it includes stories of my own path. We'll do meditations and settle in and get in our body. And really, this exploration is about deeply listening to our body for the wisdom that is within. So as we begin today, I want to have us kind of settle in, do a little bit of breathing and getting in our bodies, and then we will begin with today's topic. So take a breath with me. Invite some exhale with sound. Give yourself permission to vibrate, make a little sound. And invite that sound as a way to let go of any heaviness or nervousness, excitement, any energies that are no longer of service, that are time to let go. Let your body relax into the support of the earth and let go of anything that doesn't serve. Maybe take a moment to feel how you're relating to the earth. Notice, how are you sitting, standing, or lying down? How are you in contact with the floor, or the ground, or a seat? What's it like to acknowledge that path of contact as a path of support, as, earth's got my back. The universe has got my back. Everything's going to be okay. Really. And noticing, creating a little space in the body as you breathe. Also invites then on inhale now, bringing some awareness to the inhale, a sort of welcoming, a sense of, yes, more please. Welcoming in light, life, energy, and nourishment. And let yourself receive. That with delight. And take a moment with that delight, with what I call wonder, awe, and gratitude for being in a body and delighting in that and acknowledging that it's not the only thing that defines us. With gratitude for being in a body, for taking time for yourself. Give yourself an internal big hug and a breath. And gently opening your eyes, returning into the space. Beautiful. And today, as we head into today's show, inspirations for me, things that have been alive. We are in a month of transition here at Mystery School of the Temple Arts. And this theme of transition has shown up many ways for me. We've just now moved into and out of a new moon. At our last temple gathering, we were noticing as we were heading in, and now we're just on the other side of the new moon. And as we head towards the full moon, that's a very expansive time. Like, woo, what's coming into our lives? You know, and I feel it as feeling now for many, many months, this process is very much going inward and kind of resetting in my body, which I'll talk a little more about. This deep reset process, I'm feeling now a time of reemergence, of rebuilding and kind of sprouting back forth in a new spiral, you know, of sprouting and rebuilding and sprouting and rebuilding. And this sprouting, this reemergence time has some particular trends to it. And in particular, which I want to focus as our topic for today in the theme of transition, is the pelvis and what is going on in our pelvis. What is it? Where is it in the body? How can we relate to it maybe in a new way? How can we listen to something in the body that maybe we don't pay much attention to? So we're going to explore that today, letting ourselves really connect with what's it like to be in our body, and specifically exploring a little what's it like to be in the pelvis today. So this comes for me from my own path of now being about 8 months into a process of really deeply coming into new relationship with food. So in my path of sacred sexuality and listening to my body and self-awareness that began with a spiritual awakening about 15 years ago or more, I've really noticed different ways, I'll call it a couple of different parallel spirals of how that has danced for me. And one of those is what I call different body awakenings, different aha moments in my body, listening, things opening, things changing. And one of those is I'm noticing my awareness of how I'm relating to, so I'll call those body awakenings as how I'm relating to within my own physical body. Then there's how I'm relating to the world around me in different relationships with beings on this planet, with nature and with the earth. And one of those threads I want to touch about right now, which is the spiral of how my relationship with food has changed and grown over time, and how that brings me to this point now where I want to dive into what's it like to explore the pelvis and how that's connected. They're very connected. So relationship with food, the inspiration that I'm having is seeing over my life, in a nutshell, how for decades I didn't have much of awareness of how I ate. In fact, it was usually rushed. It was a very white bread, refined, packaged, plastic, all these experiences of things that were quick and easy, convenience, canned, condensed, packaged, processed, preserved. Tended to be the theme of how I ate for a lot of years, a lot of artificial colors, flavors. I drank a lot of Diet Coke in the early years of my life, which I released, luckily, and I see as one of the beginnings of my awareness of changing the way I ate. I released that in that daily practice in the early 90s. And even then noticed, wow, like all these headaches I was having, wow, they let go and released, and I started drinking more water. But I was still eating in ways that weren't that were what I knew and what I saw as best, and had you know these different themes of again preservatives and refined and packaged, and it was starting to take a toll on my body in ways that I didn't even recognize. So as I fast forward different ways of relating to food through time, I started to become more mindful in food, in my awareness. And I started to make changes that I thought, you know, again, at the time were the right pieces of eating a little differently, bringing in a little more healthy whole foods, starting to drop away some of the artificialness, you know, the artificial colors and flavors and preservatives and prepackaging started to drop away. And then as I was traveling around the world and really noticing that the mindfulness practice that I could bring to food and a crack open experience that I had in my own journey in a vision quest, where as I was coming off of 3 days fast and gently being nourished into being reinvited to be in the world, that the nourishment that I received was held in such love. It was a love offering for myself to my body, but also for the beautiful people who were supporting us as vision questers to come off the land. And that really woke me up. I had not related to food in quite that way ever before. And so I started bringing more mindfulness to what I was eating, and I explored different facets of vegetarianism and vegan and green smoothies and juicing and raw foods and fermentation, and all of these a delightful inquiry. And none of them did I stick to super rigidly, because it just felt like I wanted to explore. And I view that as, again, listening to my own body, that's what was right. So as I fast forward now into about 8 months ago, I got this hit spiritually and sort of intuitively. And again, to me, this is about listening deeply to my body. And my body was now giving me the message that I needed to do a cleanse, that I needed to do something to release. And specifically, the word candida came up, although there was no diagnosis associated with that. It was just how I believe it was kind of how I was being guided to see another way of eating. And so I did. I did a little research. I found a way to eat, to sort of what I'll call enter a cleanse phase for myself in February of this year. And as I changed what I ate, let me be clear, what I'm not saying here is as I changed what I ate is the right way to do this for everyone. This is an inquiry into listening to the body, and I'm going to expand on this in some other work, things that I'm writing in my book and articles and things. So this will make more sense in the depth of those descriptions. But the essence here is not, oh, you should eat this X, Y, or Z way. And more, what I offer is listening deeply to the body and what is it that our body wants and needs in any given moment. So what I'm inviting as an example here around food is just one way that that looked. In my case, it's not what I'm saying is for everyone. For me, in February, it was pretty clear I needed to shift my diet in a way that released all sugars and grains. And this process started, which I'll make a very long story a lot shorter, that made a whole shift in the way I started eating. And I had this whole huge, powerful shift of what I'll call getting to a point where I had what I call the epic poop. So in all frankness, right, our bodies are really important, and things that we don't talk about sometimes, sex, poop, you know, these things are important and related. So, and this all comes back to pelvis here in a moment. So the what I call the epic poop was a huge transition point for me. It was a point where I went, oh my goodness, I had no idea I was tolerating the levels of general gastric discomfort, of bloating and constipation and things that I knew I was tolerating, but then even noticing things that started to release and clear up that I didn't even realize I was dealing with. And that point was sort of a life changer. It marked a time when my body started to shift and process differently and eliminate differently. And I went, wow. I started to realize this was real and possible. I could start to feel this good in a way that was nurturing and supportive. It wasn't just a temporary thing, and that I could make a choice to make this change a part of my life. And I was just blown away. And so what I mean by that is I started to feel better in my body, in my physical self, in my physical organism. I started to notice things like pelvic clarity, congestion that I was carrying in my pelvis, quite literally from constipation, but also energetic congestion started to release and clear. As I started to do another phase of this process in about June, which was basically I said, well, I've sort of been intuitively stumbling through this. It's been amazing, but now I want some support. I want to balance what I call the masculine analytical, sort of thinking and planning piece, which is important, with the intuitive feminine feeling, just guidance piece. And again, those masculine feminine terms not being gender, simply being complements. So for me, taking what I had been intuitively working with and now seeking some guidance to bring in a little bit of like, what's another perspective, run some tests and let's see what happens. So that phase, which I call the reset phase, started to happen in June. And we did. We ran some tests. I sought out a beautiful functional medicine practitioner named Arti Batavia. Our journey together has been just amazing. And as I totally reset the way I was eating, even from the way I had been eating in the February timeframe, I had another phase of what I was starting to describe, which is my body started to change in ways where I could feel deep fascial and muscular and structural binds and holds that had been there my whole life, birth related, I'm guessing, I feel that. I feel that much of this was patterns of tension that I was holding in my body ever since even I was born. These started to unwind. Ways that my body was gripping and holding on and carrying information started to let go even more. My pelvis, again, started to clear. The congestion of, again, the physical and the energetic started to ease so that there was literally an energetic space that opened up that could now be filled with awareness. So in my path of sacred sexuality and how I had been working in my body with my sexual energy, with myself, or with my partner, this was a profound shifting experience. So that what opened was not just the amazing day-to-day feeling better, alive, more connected, more filled with energy in my day, easier to arise quickly and brightly, easier to fall asleep into deep and settled sleep, more energy in my day, less fogginess, much more clarity, and clarity not only in my physical body, but in my subtle bodies, the awareness of myself as a light being, an energetic being, and tapping into the awareness of these different facets of who I am that extend from my physical skin. All of this really started to deepen in new layers and had been part of my journey already. And just, I couldn't even believe there were more layers yet to be seen. So this, what I'll call pelvic clarity and relief of congestion and opening, really started to wake up some new aha moments and started to draw many themes that I'd been working with together and in a way that I want to invite today. I want to share a little bit about this nature of what's it like to be aware of our pelvis. Because as I talk about this, I'm fully aware that for me, for example, as recently as a decade or a little more ago, I wouldn't have had a whole lot of awareness of my pelvis other than, yep, it is this part of my body that my legs are attached to and my torso sits on. That might have been how I saw it, as I can think back. But I certainly didn't have the level of articulation and awareness and isolation capacity that I do now. And even as I went through childbirth, I've shared this story before, there were ways that my pelvis could move after childbirth that I didn't realize would have made probably childbirth even more possible with ease and with pleasure and with a whole new way of being, had I known some of the things I did before I went through the process of giving birth to my daughter. So this is deep stuff, and it's stuff that we often, like I said, just don't talk about. So I want to invite, we're going to talk a little bit about and really give some awareness to what is the pelvis and how are we related to our pelvis and our body, and then some pieces of at a physical level, but also an energetic one and a bit of an esoteric one. We're going to explore a little bit what the heck and why. Why should we care? Why is it so important to relate to this part of our body? And I'll start that by saying what I have learned is the more I'm aware of different facets of my body, the more I can notice what messages they're having to share with me. And the more I can also discern when those messages are authentic, when I'm getting things that are coming in from a more egoic mind place or a wounded self place or this place of resistance that isn't really maybe a place of clarity, it's more a place that's trying to derail me, a self-sabotage mechanism. I have many ways that my mind likes to do that to myself. So starting to discern those differences, I've found opens up as I really start to notice facets of my body. And for me, my analytical brain absolutely delights in having a little bit of what I call scientific structure to hang the other bits on. What I mean by that is there's going to be an experiential piece to this of noticing and connecting. The more I have a little bit of maybe that anatomy lesson or the bit of the how a bone fits with another bone or what's the fluidity in this place, that helps me in my experience. And then vice versa, as I experience it, I can bring more capacity in the slots of my brain for what's the next piece of anatomy I'm here to learn. Because I firmly believe if we just sit down and try to memorize an anatomy book, we're going to max out. Like, there's so much mental stuff that creates that it really isn't, for me, it really isn't about sinking in and becoming an embodied awareness of, yes, I can relate to that. It becomes more about, yeah, I can name a bunch of body parts, but does that really embody my awareness of those body parts? So to me, it's a balance of both, and that's what we're going to do. So let's start with taking a moment to just do a short break, and we'll come back to really expand on pelvis.
Thank you, Leslie. You are listening live to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. Today is September 15th, 2015, and you're listening with Leslie Blackburn and her show, Sacred Sexualities. If you would like to talk with Leslie today, please give us a call at 646-378-0378, and that number again is 646-378-0378. And now back to your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Beautiful. Thank you, Courtney. So here we are discussing and settling into our pelvis today. I realize I want to share one other piece. So I talked about opening up clearing the congestion so that I felt these differences in my body in terms of both just presence and confidence and walking around on the planet, as well as orgasmic repertoire. And I think that's important to note. The nature of how sexual energy can move through the body is very connected with the pelvis. And what I've noticed and experienced in these most recent months is a whole new level, like a whole new layer of possibility opening up in what I call orgasmic repertoire. The nature of possibility of orgasmic energy to move in new ways and to feel different and to feel orgasmic in our whole body instead of just right in a particular genital area. And there, again, this comes with some awareness in the pelvis that we have more than just one spot. And often we think of orgasm in sexuality, that it's all about genital orgasm. And what I want to invite, and what we'll dance a little bit in here as we're talking about pelvis, is that there's many, 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 many pathways through the body that orgasmic sexual energy can run. And they all feel different. And as we explore that and dance in that, it can be a delightful journey of exploration to just dance in the different ways that we can move energy through the body. And to support that, let's go into a little bit about our pelvis and how some awareness of how the structure of it can open up the awareness of how that energy can run within it. Now, the other piece to the story in my journey that I think is also important that I will touch on is I talked about at the beginning these different spirals, and I just mentioned a little bit of the history of my spiral with food and relationship with food. One of the other spirals for me was body awakening, and one of the most profound body awakening experiences I've had was an opening in my tailbone. And literally what I call my tailbone awakening about a year and a half ago that started to wake up to noticing that I had broken it back when I was a child, and then just moving through some profound shifts of healing and awareness and opening energy pathways through the deep part of my tailbone, coccyx, and anus and rectum. So these openings in my physical form, I think, were part of the foundation for why the relationship to food was being invited, so that my gut body could make some healing and changes and invite some congestion clearing and clarity to open in my pelvis. So that was another piece that I think is important. So let's go into the anatomy now of the pelvis. And I'm going to grab my pelvis, meaning Penelope, my pelvis, which as you're listening in here, either live on this radio show today or in the archives, I totally acknowledge you can't physically see Penelope, my pelvis, but I have a model, and her name is Penelope, and she very, very much shows the different pieces and structures of the physical form of the pelvis. And I find it helpful as I share in classes and groups and with clients. We often are referring to Penelope, so some of you may even recognize her. We're going to take a look today at Penelope, and I'm going to invite that with some words. Our pelvis is a bony structure. It's like a bowl, a container in the deep area of the body, in the hips, in the area of the lower torso. And we can feel, so as I describe these different parts, I'm going to invite you to feel. This is a little experiential anatomy lesson where you get to feel the bones of your body and start to go, oh, that's what that is. So right at the center of the front of your torso, down low, just above the genitals, you'll feel a bony bump. And I invite you, if you feel safe and in the place to do this, to please do touch that bony bump that's just above your genitals. That is the area of the pubis. That's the pubic bones, which are two bones that come together at the front of the pelvis with a little cartilage in between called the pubic symphysis. And as we feel that, going, oh, okay, there's the pubis. All right. Now bring your hand to the back and feel your vertebrae, so your spine. And you can walk down your spine with your fingers. You'll come to a big triangular bone that sits, that's part of the pelvis called the sacrum. That big triangular bone that sits in the center sits between two other bones of the pelvis. We'll come back to the iliac crest. The sacrum, though, if we follow that down and literally kind of walk our fingers down the sacrum, we'll feel where that dips down into the tailbone or the coccyx. And for me, that's, we kind of have to scoot the flesh of the buttocks apart a little bit and get in there to feel where the tailbone comes down into the pelvis. The pelvic floor, which we'll talk about in a minute, attaches inside this tailbone, the coccyx, and the pubis that we just touched before, and two other places. So if you have a hand sitting at your pubis and one at your tailbone, you can kind of close your eyes or visualize and draw in a little awareness to a muscular hammock or web of muscle that runs from front to back in the deep floor of the pelvis. That is the pelvic floor. We'll come back to that. Two other places. Reaching down underneath, if you're sitting or if you're standing, I recommend bending your knee and sticking a foot on a chair or something, and you can get up inside either side of around the anal opening or the perineal area, and there's these sit bones, ischial tuberosities. And the sit bones, one on each side. And you kind of have to scoot the flesh of the tush aside and get up into the groin crease area, deep side. And you can feel both those sit bones, one on each side with either hand. So now we have four touch points here. The pubis, the sit bone, the tailbone, the sit bone. The pelvic floor musculature, or pubococcygeus muscles, attaches into those bony places in the structure of the pelvis. We'll feel that for a moment. Just noticing that you have a pelvic floor, and that the pelvic floor actually has a couple of diaphragms. One of them is a smaller, more forward section that's the urogenital diaphragm, and then the deeper one I've seen referred to as the pelvic diaphragm. I'm kind of referring to both sets of those diaphragms as one when I say pelvic floor. That this nature of this muscular that sits at the root of our body. The muscular itself, musculature itself, has a couple of openings in it as organs come to pass through there. And in particular, there is an opening for the urethra near the front where we all pee, right? So the bladder, from the bladder, the urethra that exits the body through this pelvic floor and out of the body. In the rear, we have the anus where we poop that comes down from the rectum. And then in the center, or roughly center forward, for female-bodied beings, there is the yoni opening or vaginal opening. And then the muscular structure itself also looks similar to for male-bodied beings. The lingam or penis comes through in a way in conjunction with the urethra that's similar. So that the muscles look similar, not quite exactly the same, but there's not a huge difference between the two in terms of musculature. So just bringing that awareness to your pelvic floor for a moment, that like, oh, there it is. And you can start to flex it and kind of clench and lift or relax and let it soften. And there's even another direction, sort of bearing down or letting it sort of loom down and open. And that direction or that facet of our pelvic awareness is the one that I was referring to before, was not super available for me early on. I believe I went through all of childbirth not really understanding the capacity of my pelvis to bloom open and down and wide. That is amazing potential and definitely something that I didn't fully recognize until later, and I'm sure I'm still in the journey of fully recognizing that. So just notice that. Notice playing with, some people can relate to that muscle from the word Kegel clenches or practicing Kegel clenches. And I'll invite just a little caution around Kegels. As I always talk about, like, it's the nature of balance. So it depends on where we are on the balance, on the spectrum of very bound and tight to very loose and flaccid. Either ends of those spectrum, we want to find balance in the center, which is I'm not super bound and tight to the point where nothing can move, but I'm also not so loose and flaccid that I have no tone or no capacity to control the muscles with some awareness. But I don't want to be hyper over control. And sometimes doing Kegels can do that. In my experience, that's what happened. I was, you know, I'm like an endurance athlete heading into my pregnancy. So I was like, you know, as soon as my OBGYN, who was a certified nurse midwife, incidentally, I loved her. As soon as she was like, do some Kegels, I was like, okay, you tell me to do 20, I'm going to do 50 and I'm going to do them 3 times a day. You know, I was just taking it way overboard, and it created so much binding in my pelvis that it was not of great service. There is a balance. Relaxation and ease and unwinding is something I found much later. And what I found as I did that is empowered the capacity to use those muscles in a clench when I chose to, even more powerfully, but that I could also let them go and invite the outward motion of flow and of juiciness and of delight. That is something that was newer for me in the later years. So this, what I'm inviting with this journey today, this topic of the pelvis, is not that one way is right or wrong. Again, coming back to that premise, this is about listening to your body, noticing where you're at on the spectrum. What's it like then to dance in different possibilities? Maybe for some, practicing Kegels is really important because there's no tone, and to work with the muscles is actually quite profound. But maybe for some, relaxation and ease is actually the path that's going to find the balance, because there's so much bound stuck. And that for me certainly was a piece of it for me. Okay, so now we've danced with feeling where our pelvic floor is. And we even talked a little bit about the urethra and the vaginal opening and the anus. I want to talk about for a moment, so that was all in physical structure. I mentioned the iliac crest. So if we come back to that for a moment to give you an idea of the other piece of the pelvis, we were touching the bones at the base. At the top, one way to access this is to sort of feel what we'll call the hip points right at the front of the body, of the lower torso, and there's the bony points where our pelvis is coming forward. Those hip points are part of the iliac crest that continue up and around and come back to meet in a joint. Those crests come back and meet the sacrum at the back body, so that there are actually two joints, the sacroiliac joints, on either side of the sacrum where the iliac part of the pelvis meets the sacrum. And I think it's important to note that that's intended to be a joint, that there is motion, that the sacrum moves. Now, we don't want it to move too much. Hypermobility of the sacrum can be super uncomfortable, but we do want to have awareness that there's fluidity here. And even that the pubis, that's also not a bound place. There has a little bit of awareness of fluid possibility there at that cartilage joint. So the point being, there are different parts of the pelvis. It's not just one cement bowl that's stuck and rigid. We are alive, breathing, fluid beings. Even bones are mostly water. They're fluid and juicy. They're not the ones we see when we see a skeleton, right? Just to bring that awareness that our bones are permeable and fluid. And yes, there are structure for our body, but it really helped me to go, wow, I have fluidity and spaciousness. And in that, I have this plasticity that's innate to my body that is empowering, because it's the awareness that I can make changes. It's not stuck. I'm not stuck in, well, that's a bone, so I can't change that bone. No, there are ways to bring awareness of intention and love and joy in the body that do shift our physical form in very real ways. So I just want to invite that. So that was the iliac there. Okay, so that pelvic bowl and a little bit of the pelvic floor anatomy. The is the gist of the physical anatomy pieces. We may bring a couple other pieces in, but start with that. And now I want to bring awareness to some energetics, the more esoteric anatomy of the pelvis and the root. So the root of our body is, we hear different traditions will name different facets of our energy bodies in different ways. And what I invite is let's experience feeling what we know. And then the names can help again, organize information, but that it's really about what is it that becomes our body's knowing. And what I've come to know is feeling the connection of the way that the root of my body is an access point into accessing the earth and plugging back into the earth. So in the way that like an oak tree needs the deep support of its roots, there the roots of an oak, the deep tap root, the width and breadth of the roots that move laterally from the base, all of that has the structure of immensity that the tree above ground has. You know, if we can see the roots below, it's just as vast. And that vast root network is what supports the oak to be its graceful, stately, you know, proud, majestic, and strong self, that it's plugged in and has that support that gives it the fluidity and resiliency in its majestic pride. If those roots weren't there, you know, a simple breeze would knock it over, whereas when the roots are there, it can survive the greatest storms. That, I think, is a good analogy for what our capacity of rooting our body does for us. Our root is about, energetically, is about our safety and well-being. It's about basic needs being met and about capability, feeling like, yeah, you know, I'm going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. That sense of ease. It's about confidence. It's about presence in the world. And it's about, again, feeling safe to sort of move into the world from there. So our root, energetically, in the root chakra, is related to some of our earliest birth experiences and bonding with the mother, with our biological mom and with Earth, with the nature of safety and ground. And often in our journey, there are little pieces of that that get, you know, wonky. Things weren't as clean as maybe we would want them to be. But it doesn't mean mom did anything wrong. There's no blame. It's just, what were those qualities that our being is relating to and how they impact our pelvis, and how they impact and how that impact to our pelvis impacts our body and our whole way of being. They're very real. And again, it's not about beating ourselves up or blaming mom or whatever. When I say, you know, our bonding with mother experiences very much impact how we can feel in our bodies. And yet, as we can find healing in that and forgiveness in that, that's part of what comes in as we're working with the pelvic floor and the pelvis and the root. So back to the root, one of the things that our energy body, how our energy body is structured, is that through our root, we are connected down through another energetic structure that I've heard called the Earth Star, and that resonates for me, but however that relates for you, another quality to our connection down in the earth. It's like maybe an arm's length below our feet if we were standing on the earth, down in the earth. So our root connects down through that chakra and is how we connect and relate to the earth and her energy. It's like a transformer of like how we can receive that connection. And in the same way, we have one beyond the top of our head connecting with sort of spiritual universal source energy, which we'll come back to another time. But the pelvis then, the root and our connection with the earth, this possibility of rooting can really also really impact our capacity in that whole sense of, do I feel safe? Am I capable? Do I feel grounded and connected? These are the ways it's connected with our energy bodies in that way. So the more clarity and openness and connection and awareness we can find in the pelvis, the more capacity I'm finding for me to, for example, to plug in to the earth. And vice versa, the more capacity, the more time I take with the earth where I let myself plug in, I believe is what's supporting some of this clarity of opening and clearing congestion, inviting possibility in my pelvis. So it's this beautiful dance and interplay. They're all connected. Something like bringing awareness to the pelvis, touching our bodies, touching the deep areas of the pelvis, the pelvic floor and the genitals to invite like, yes, I'm alive. Yes, these parts are here. They're important. I'm not going to ignore them anymore. And really starting to bring self-love is, again, part of the journey of getting ourselves connected back in this body, which to me is what this path's about. Listening to our body, deep embodiment, deeply plugging back in. And then moving from that place of deep embodied awareness as we move forward in the world. It's quite profound. So the root gates, which we talked about, I talked about in one other facet as well, I believe before. Let me come back to that to recap. Different traditions, again, will speak different ways of acknowledging the root of the body. One that has resonated for me is the awareness that we have, say, 5 root gates in the deep area of the pelvis that are energetically how we connect with the earth and how we can draw energy through our body. Those 5 are centered at the perineal area, which is kind of the center of a central channel down through the body. And then going backwards from there, we have the anus. And then from there, backwards again, we have the coccygeal plexus, or again, that tailbone area. Those are 3 of the root gates, the perineum, the anus, the coccyx. If we come back to center at the perineum and then move forward, we have an area at what we'll call the yoni opening or vaginal opening for female bodies, and in male bodies, the sort of there's this energetic scrotal opening that would be the analogous place. And then as we move forward from there, we're working with either the tip of the penis or lingam or the clitoris, the external part of the clitoris, depending on bodies. So those 5 areas are ways that we can root and connect, and ways that we can run energy through the body. So imagine, and the pelvic floor is related to all of that, our capacity to lift or draw or press or, you know, isolate areas of the pelvis can really greatly impact our ability to move energy through the pelvis and through the whole body. Different areas of the pelvis are connected with different organs and tissues up through the whole body. And what I've noticed in my own journey with that, I used to see in the teachings talking about, you know, the different areas of the anus, for example, in the Taoist tradition, the qi muscle, the pelvic floor would be called the qi muscle. And there's discussion around isolating and working with the anal area in a way that you can lift the right side or the left side or the center or the front or the back independently of each other. And when I first saw that, I was just like, whoa, like way too much. I don't know. I'm lucky if I can lift anything in my pelvic floor. Like that was just all I had. As I've seen and noticed changes in my body, I'm starting to recognize the capacity and to work with and have worked with isolating those different areas in the pelvis and noticing what happens and what the differences are. It is quite profound, but it doesn't just happen from doing Kegel clenches all day. It's been this deep, fully dimensional, multi-aware experience of releasing congestion and opening possibility, slowing down and letting go, and also being aware of how my muscles can work. So just to be clear, it's not just put something on the to-do list. It is really a multi-dimensional experience. And I'll invite it because I'll invite just the awareness that is there are possibilities. What I've started to notice over years is I used to run my sexual energy either really genitally or really forward genitally, so what I call very yang. In other words, for me to have an orgasm in the first couple decades of my sexual awareness, it was really externally, clitorally stimulated and forward. So it came kind of up that, if it came up at all, it was in the front of the body, really tight. And if anything, my body would kind of round forward. My legs would be straight and kind of engaged. There's a lot of muscular forward action And that it made sense. It was a time in my life when I was in a really active, engaged, do things outside of myself place. And that's very yang. Over time, I started to bring and settle my awareness back to work with my yoni, my G-spot, as that started to open in the pelvis. Awareness that running energy up from that area was completely different. That was a yin place. There were places that were soft and wide. And it's what started my sort of foray into the awareness, into my deep pelvis, in the orgasmic experiences of noticing that I could shift how orgasm moved, and that I could shift just how pleasure and sensation, that it wasn't only about orgasm as some destination, also, to be clear. But so that coming into more central, and then even now in more recent years, this opening into the deep tail, the tailbone, the back body, the energy of the deep rear pelvis, that let's just be honest, if we're hyper constipated, which I was, like, I just thought that was the way life was. I thought a part of eating was being bound up for a while until it came out, you know, like, I'll just be frank. And yet what I learned was no, my body could eliminate and clear and find ease in ways I had no idea were possible. When that congestion releases, imagine this pelvic bowl we just talked about, the rectum that's sitting in the rear there, the vaginal opening and the cervix and the uterus that sits in the middle-ish area, and then the bladder at the front, it's full, you know, and there's intestines and other things going on. So if we're bound up with, you know, matter that's making its way through the body, fecal matter, that's that much more space in there that's being held. And when we can clear that, then energetically there's more availability for things to move and to be fluid. At least that's what I've been noticing and what I'll invite some awareness around. So my awareness of being in the deep, deep rear body and allowing sexual energy to be present in the deep area of the tail and the tailbone and the coccyx and the anus and the rectum, like that is, there's profound space there for possibility in the way energy runs. And when we're moving energy through the body, a really safe way to run sexual energy is up through the sacrum. The sacrum in the Taoist teachings is one of those transformer places. It supports how we can shift our sexual energy into usable energy for our organs and tissues. Whereas if it comes straight up into organs and tissues in another route, it can be overwhelming and it can cause other problems and congest organs in different ways. And this is where that term, the Kundalini syndrome, comes in as well, as if energy gets forced into a path in the body that isn't maybe ready for it, it can cause some symptoms, some things that aren't comfortable. That said, I'm not trying to instill fear. It's more be mindful, listen to our body. It's only going to move energy where it feels safe and good to do so, like in my opinion, that's something that by listening deeply, we can really support ourselves to honor. But these ways of moving energy through the body, through breath and sound and movement and touch, all have, you know, bringing a little bit of awareness now to our pelvis, the anatomy of our pelvis and the energetics of our pelvis, that as we play with working with breath and sound and movement and touch, we can start to have some slots in the brain for how things might move. And I invite, as a way to take that with you, to really slow down in, say, a self-touch practice where you're listening. What's it like to cultivate a little energy? What's it like to let it flow in an area with intention? And just listen, but go really slowly and listen, without forcing or driving towards an outcome. So with that, I want to invite another short break. We're going to come back to experience a bit of a guided practice of going into the body.
Thank you for joining us today. You are listening live to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. If you would like to contact Leslie, please venture to mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com, where you can find all of her contact information and where you can also book her for speaking engagements or for private sessions. Tantric Energy Touch Workshop, available on CD. If you wanted to attend a class but were a little nervous about the group setting, explore a live Tantric Energy Touch class in the comfort of your home with a partner or by yourself with this audio CD. Order online, see the website. Tantric Energy Touch Workshop on CD, a guided practical introduction to exploring energy through breath, sound, movement, visualization, and touch. The 2015-2016 Mystery School Year of Sacred Sexuality classes are now posted and open for registration. Join us for the next series of classes on October 16th through the 18th. See the website for more details. The best way to get announcements about upcoming events, as well as inspirational stories, videos, and radio show archives, is by clicking on the link available under Contact at the website. Announcing Leslie's new monthly Sacred Sexuality video cast. You choose your level of involvement, whether you want to be part of the conversation live or sit back and take it in. See details at the website under Event Calendar to join in. The next one is Wednesday, October 7th at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Join us at the next Temple Community Gathering. Curious about Mystery School of the Temple Arts offerings but not sure where to start? Join us at a Temple Gathering. The next one is Sunday, October 18th from 5 to 7 p.m. This is a regular gathering for seekers at Mystery School of the Temple Arts getting a chance to connect and discuss openly on sexuality, tantra, consciousness, spirituality, and more. After an opening meditation, we hold a sacred circle, creating a safe space to share and ask questions on intimate topics you didn't think you could talk about. Such a beautiful group forms each time, and we love seeing how Spirit guides us together. The gathering is free of charge. Donations to support the temple are welcome, but not required. Please contact Leslie to RSVP and for her location details. More information at the website under offerings. And now back to your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Thank you, Courtney. I'm going to invite us all now to take a breath and settle back into the body, feel the earth. And let's take a little guided moment to really listen to the pelvis. Feel for a moment the way your pelvis is relating to the earth. If you're seated, explore sensing a little movement with finding the points on the rails of the ischials, the ischial tuberosities, those sit bones. Think of them like little rocker rails. There's this place that might find easeful, right, and balance, so that we're not sitting so far forward onto our pubic bone or so far backward onto our tailbone. It's more something maybe in between. And sometimes even feeling the sit bones when we're sitting, like, where are they? I invite maybe leaning forward a little bit, shift the flesh of the tush, like grab it. When I say shift it, grab it, hold it, pull it back a little. And see if it gives some space for those sit bones to find their way into contact with whatever surface you're sitting on. So often we roll back way onto the tailbone. So this would be seated in an erect way, maybe on a meditation seat, or if you're in a chair, move up towards the edge of the chair and come off of leaning on the back for a moment and let your spine be erect and feel those sit bones and the way you can relate to them through the seat, through and down through the structure of whatever building or structure you're in, or if you're on the land directly, feel your direct connection with the earth. And then take a moment, bringing your hands, maybe thumbs right in the navels and or right in the navel of your belly button, where your fingers are kind of forming a triangle with your hands, where the fingers come down towards the lower belly, the lower abdomen, and towards the genitals. And feel for a moment in this mudra just an honoring of, beloved mother, help me connect my womb to your womb. And by womb, I mean this deep sexual creative center. So womb, even if you don't relate to that word, you don't have to have a uterus to have a womb space, a creative center. Feel, beloved mother, help me connect my womb to your womb. Help me to feel and open my body, help light me up, help me to receive feeling and sensation. And notice how that feels as you do that call, and feel the nature of your root gate start to open. Notice if there's tightness, don't beat yourself up. Can you relax in the deep pelvic floor? Kiss open to the earth. And then a moment to drop your awareness back in the back body. As you become aware of your midline, relating in whatever way that may be, aware of your spine, of your central nervous system, your spinal cord and your brain. Widening back, wide. And feeling not only the root down through the forward places in the body, for me, those were much more accessible, but feeling your root back, your tail, wide, open. Notice if you're feeling tucking or tightness in your buttocks. Just witness that. And with that, an invitation to breathe up and feel the earth. Ooh, ay, 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 ay. And to know that that knowing is within you. It doesn't have to be cognitive. Trust feeling and opening for just one moment to the possibility that you can connect even more deeply in your body and with the earth. It's a journey. It's a spiral. There's not an end point. What's the next layer of possibility that's emerging in the body? Yours is uniquely yours in this moment. With the breath, letting go of one thing, maybe a limiting thought or a belief that didn't serve and it's time to go, let it go down through your body and away. And invite in a breath of, yes, more please, maybe one thing that you want to walk with as you leave this exploration today, something that clicked, something that you want to explore in your body a little bit more. Seal it by noticing that sensation right now in your body and planting it back into your space that, yes, I will come in and notice this and explore this. And then a breath of gratitude for yourself, for taking time for you and for listening to your body. Deep gratitude. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us live today with Leslie Blackburn and Sacred Sexuality. If you would like to contact Leslie, please go to mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com. Leslie is also available for private sessions, and you can find more information about this at the website, mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com, which is a private temple studio in West Dearborn, Michigan. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today, and have a wonderful rest of the day.
Join us again next time for continued support on your path of self-realization. The power is within you to heal your body, connect deeply with others, manifest your heart's desires, and experience your deepest bliss. By our healing, we impact others, inspiring love for humanity and the planet. Thank you for joining us for Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn.